Welcome to Healthy Bottom Line, a monthly Chief Healthcare Executive podcast where we discuss topics at the intersection of policy and cost to show how innovation is improving health and saving money. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. Today I'm joined by Barry Sample, PhD, Director of Science and Technology at Quest Diagnostics. We discuss the rise in drug positivity rates among healthcare professionals over the course of 2020 and the consequences of drug use among employees in healthcare settings. We're also going to be talking about the role that marijuana legislation has played in this increase, as well as some solutions to reduce positivity rates. Barry, it's good to have you on. Could you just start by introducing yourself and telling us a bit about what you do at Quest Diagnostics?
Sure, happy to do that, and thanks for asking me to join you today. So I'm Dr. Barry Sample. I'm the Senior Director of Science and Technology for the Employer Solutions business at Quest Diagnostics. Primarily responsible for looking at new technology, leading R&D efforts for our business. But another large part of it is why we're talking today is I'm responsible for our data mining and the publication of our drug testing index, which reports on trends that we see in our workforce drug testing.
So what exactly are workforce positivity rates and how have they evolved over time for healthcare employees?
So in our workforce drug testing data, we looked at our entire client database and we tried to categorize those employers by industry. And we're using the NAICS coding system, the North American Industry Classification System. It's used in North America for classifying various industries. So we've assigned industry categories, a single industry category to all of our customers. That assignment is done on the basis of the largest revenue producing business that company may be involved in. So you can think of some companies that are in various industries that are potentially unrelated. So we assign an industry based on the largest revenue producing industry component. In order to be reporting on industry data, we required a minimum of an average annual volume of at least 50,000 tests annually in order to be able to provide meaningful statistical data and be able to draw valid insights as we're comparing year-over-year differences. And of the 20 sectors, we had sufficient data in 17 of those sectors, including the healthcare and social assistance. So again, it's the classification is done at that business level, not at the job function. So there may be drivers that work for a company that's in healthcare, could be DOT regulated drivers. They wouldn't be in transportation, those employees. They're still going to be in healthcare because it's the employer, not the job function, that drives the categorization. That being said, as we look at overall positivity between 2016 and 2020, we've seen increases, you know, particularly over the course of the last 3 years. So in 2016, the positivity rate in 2016 in healthcare and social assistance, the positivity rate was 4.7%. And in 2020, it was 4.8%. So a very small increase and in relative terms, only 2.1%. And we actually saw some ups and downs. So I'd really call that relatively flat over that 5-year time period that we're talking about. But that doesn't always tell the whole story, because that's overall positive. There have also been changes in the positivity for specific drugs or specific drug classes. So, for example, in the case of marijuana, in 2016, the positivity rate was 1.8%. In 2020, it was 2.4%, representing a 33% increase over the course of that time period between 2016 and 2020. So While overall positivity remained flat, not each of the individual drugs also remained flat. Since marijuana positivity went up in that time frame and overall remained the same, that would suggest other drugs went down, which can be a good news story for employers in that industry sector. So, for example, in the case of cocaine, positivity in 2016 was 0.16%, and in 2020, it was 0.13%. We actually saw, went up a tick in 2017. Since then, we've been seeing year-over-year declines between 2017 and 2020, such that the difference in positivity rate between 2016 and 2020 had declined nearly 19%. And we've seen, not necessarily to the same magnitude, but we've also seen declines in other drugs over that same time period. And if you want, we can go into details on those as well.
Has the pandemic played a role in this increased positivity rate among healthcare professionals? And if so, how?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, our data doesn't really inform any sort of answer to that question. Our data is reflective of the experience that employers, first of all, have a workforce drug testing program have. So it's not even across all employers or all workers in that specific industry, or necessarily all job positions. So it's a question we're often asked, and whether it's pandemic related or even just recessionary influences, job market influences. Unfortunately, we're not able to drive down specifically the answers to those types of questions.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing to look at, considering that we know that social isolation, job losses, and stay-at-home orders during the pandemic has caused many people with drug addictions to struggle. And although healthcare professionals have been able to work and be around people, they've still had to experience immense amounts of stress and hardship.
No, you're absolutely right, it is. Probably another thing to remember is that for our general U.S. workforce testing, so that testing that isn't mandated by the federal government, the majority of those tests, over 70%, are pre-employment tests. So unless the employer has some sort of random testing program, which is unusual, and in fact, in some states, it's prohibited, except for certain safety-sensitive positions, where they have a post-accident or reasonable suspicion testing program, we really wouldn't have line of sight to current drug use patterns.
Now, you mentioned earlier that marijuana positivity is clearly the main driver of the overall increase in drug positivity. And according to Quest Diagnostic Statistics, marijuana use alone has increased 1.6% since 2016. How much do you think state legalization of recreational marijuana has played into this trend?
So not surprisingly, we've seen higher positivity rates and larger increases in positivity in the recreational use states as compared to either medical use only or non-recreational, non-medical use. And I say medical use only because all of the recreational use states except one are also medical use. So I really want to focus on just the recreational states and carve out separately the states that have medical but not recreational. So in the recreational use states since 2010, positivity has increased 105% for marijuana. It's gone from 2.1% in 2010 to 4.3%. So in the medical states, it's increased percent since 2010, went from 2.1% to 2.9%. Some people may find that a little surprising that in those medical use states, they don't see the same type of impact as you do in the recreational use states. And in the non-recreational, non-medical states, positivity has gone up 35%, went from 2% in 2010 to 2.8% in 2020. But that doesn't always tell the whole story, because we, even in those recreational use states, so it's not like it's gone up that percentage in all of the recreational use states. Somewhat a similar story to what we talked about with the specific drugs versus overall positivity in healthcare. So Colorado and Washington, two of the two longest standing recreational use states, they both enacted recreational use, legalized it in 2012. Colorado went up 110.5% between 2010 and 2020. The state of Washington went up 173.7% in that time frame, which is, I mean, that's a significant amount. But Nevada, in contrast, one of the newer states, they went recreational in 2016. Their positivity rate between 2010 and 2020 increased over 300%. So there are some very large differences just state by state. So one size does not fit all as we look at that data. And you can't always predict based on legalization status the experience rate that we're going to see or that employers are going to see.
Now, going off another thing that you mentioned earlier, we've seen a decreased positivity rate for cocaine and opiates since 2016. What do you think has been the main driver of this decrease?
There does not seem to be any correlation, at least in our minds, between an increase in marijuana and a decrease in opioids. In many ways, our workforce data for opioids has been somewhat contrary to what we've been hearing about more broadly in society. Even before we saw these large increases in marijuana positivity, while the opioid crisis was gaining a lot of attention in the media and the country, our positivity rates were actually declining. So people would say, there's an opioid crisis. Why are your numbers going down? And what people need to remember is that our data isn't necessarily reflective of what's going on more broadly in society. Doesn't mean that there isn't an opioid crisis. It doesn't mean that our data is flawed. But again, we're not testing. Our data doesn't represent all employees. It only reflects the experience of those employers that have drug testing programs. And there, I think our data suggests, there's data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health that strongly suggests that people who use drugs are less likely to apply for or work for employers that perform drug testing. Now, that's I'm sure that's not unexpected, but there's actually strong data that suggests that. So if we look at past month illicit drug use among respondents to the National Survey of Drug Use and Health. It's an annual survey conducted by U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that assesses drug and alcohol and tobacco use patterns. So if we look at past month use of an illicit drug, which would include not only drugs like cocaine and marijuana and methamphetamine, but also illicit use of prescription drugs, there's about a 50 to 60% higher self-reported use of an illicit drug in the past month among those respondents who work for an employer without a drug testing program as compared with those respondents who work for an employer with a drug testing program.
What needs to be done to curb drug positivity rates among healthcare professionals? What kinds of efforts can administrators implement?
So first and foremost, any employer that has a drug testing program should have a well-defined policy. That they should try and educate and inform their employees of the risks of drug use, the potential adverse impact on their health, on safety, be very transparent about the drug testing program, apply that uniformly. There are, I think, clearly some drugs that would appear to have an impact on workforce safety. Not surprisingly, and as I'm fond of saying, correlation does not necessarily equal causation, but we've seen for quite some time a higher positivity rate for opiates on post-accident tests as compared with pre-employment tests. And one of the things that we found surprising in more recent data is that we are seeing higher positivity rates for marijuana on post-accident as compared with pre-employment tests. So if we, this isn't industry specific, but if we look at our overall positivity on general U.S. workforce drug tests for pre-employment versus post-accident in 2012, the post-accident positivity rate versus pre-employment was 26% higher. In 2020, that difference had jumped to 73%. So while overall positivity is increasing on those pre-employment and random tests, the rate of growth on post-accident that are positive for marijuana is even higher. So again, correlation doesn't equal causation, but it certainly, I think, raises the level of concern and may suggest that there's could be something about people who use marijuana that might make them be more likely to be involved in an incident that prompted this this post-accident drug test. Not necessarily cause and effect, but maybe just something about that user profile.
And lastly, is there anything else you'd like to touch on that we haven't already discussed?
No, actually there is one thing that you might find of interest. One is, and it's actually a question I get a lot recently, is what are employers doing in terms of including marijuana in their testing panel? So as you may or may not be aware, some of the recreational use states, particularly the ones that have enacted recreational use statutes more recently, have explicit employee protections, preventing employers from taking adverse employment action against people who test positive, whether they're applicants or employees, for marijuana. Now, while many of those protections tend to be safety-sensitive carve-outs, the definition of safety-sensitive specificity may vary, does vary state by state. Generally, healthcare workers, other than maybe EMTs, aren't included in those carve-outs. So, employers, obviously need to be aware of, the state statutes if they happen to be in a recreational use state. So let me get back to what employers are doing. So again, if we look at those three categories of states, recreational use, non-recreational, non-medical use, and medical only, in our general workforce testing, where employers have an option of including marijuana or not including marijuana, between 2015 and 2020, we've not seen much of a decline at the rate at which marijuana has been included. It's declined 3.4%. In that time period, it went from 99.7% of all of those urine tests included marijuana to 96.3% including marijuana in 2020. So a decline, but not a very sharp decline. Medical, it went down 4.2% in the same time frame, and the inclusion rates are roughly the same as the non-recreational, non-medical. In the recreational use states, it's declined 8.5%. So in 2015, it was 99.5%. In 2020, it was 91%. And perhaps you will find this surprising, is that there's state-by-state differences. So in some states, the decline has been greater or lesser than in others or in the national average. But if you recall, Nevada was the state that had the highest increase in positivity between 2010 and 2020. It's one of those recreational use states. Nevada, between 2015 and 2020, also had the largest decline in the degree to which marijuana was included in those general U.S. workforce urine drug tests. So it went down 14.8% in that time frame. In contrast, Colorado and Washington, the two early recreational use states, went down 8.3% and 6.2%, respectively.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Healthy Bottom Line. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. You can also check out CHE's weekly podcast, Databook, with Samara Rosenfeld, as you wait for the new episode of Healthy Bottom Line. Until next time, I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias.